How many of you have ever had Rawlings or Optum or anybody else say, plaintiff's lawyer, defense lawyer, let me do the work and prove up my entitlement to money from this third-party recovery? I'm still waiting for the hands to go up. It doesn't happen. However, smarter plans have written a right of reimbursement into their plan saying, oh, I'm just going to get to sit back as the health insurer, disability insurer, and hold out my hand and tell the plaintiff and plaintiff's lawyer and defense company, at the end of the case, just put money in my outstretched palm when it's being paid to the plaintiff. A right of reimbursement is different from a subrogation interest. Why am I dwelling on that? Because words matter. Let's look at a couple examples. First example, Texas Supreme Court in 2018 says, well, there's no meaningful difference between those two terms, subrogation and right of reimbursement. Wrong. Now, in deference to the Texas Supreme Court, because I will always be deferential to the Texas Supreme Court, this is recorded, right? They were talking about language from the labor code, and the labor code uses both of those terms. So, with respect to the labor code and workers' comp, there was no meaningful difference. With respect to every other court that looks at this issue, if the words are not both in the plan or contract or statute, they are different words and they matter. According to our Fifth Circuit, you just heard about Steve Maloof, big, tall guy, and Charla Aldous, and Lisa Blue, titans in the industry. They were representing Mr. Hill. They got Mr. Hill $114 million. He was so grateful, he didn't want to pay their fee. So, Charla being Charla, she sued for her fee. Charla being Charla, she won. But before she won, Mr. Hill decided, well, I'm going to counter with a malpractice claim, as bad plaintiffs sometimes do. And so she got her malpractice coverage to assist her, and they spent money on defense fees on her behalf. And then when Charla got her money, as Charla does, her defense carrier, Darwin National Assurance, said, oh, Charla, we have a subrogation interest, and so take some of that money that we had to spend defending you and pay us back. And she said, you don't have a right of reimbursement in your policy. You have a subrogation interest. That means, Darwin National Assurance, get off your national assurance and do the work. And the Fifth Circuit said, yes, that's exactly what that means. There's a case pending up in Pennsylvania, Freitas versus Geisinger, where the health plan sued its own insureds, saying, y'all got money from a third-party liability claim. We have a subrogation interest. Pay us back. And the plaintiffs said, you don't have a right of reimbursement, so you are denying us the benefits by asking for all the money back, and so we are suing you for wrongful denial of benefits, for breach of your fiduciary duty, for misrepresentation of the insurance terms, and that has survived summary judgment, so keep an eye out. Words matter. Another place where words matter, and I'll talk more about Medicaid when we get to statutory subrogation interest, but one example that I've been having some fun with, especially as I serve as guardian ad litem for some minors, Medicaid is, you know, we've had Allborn since 2006 that says, Medicaid, bear your pro rata share of the recovery expenses and some other things we'll talk about. And Medicaid always says, oh, we paid over $1 million. Well, we'll knock 15% off, and we want your $1 million recovery. So you ought to be happy with 15% discount, right? You know, the statute grants Medicaid a subrogation interest or assignment. It does not grant them a right of reimbursement, which means Medicaid, get off your national and do the work. And they don't. And okay, I understand that, but they don't have a right of reimbursement. So words matter. Look at the statute, look at the Texas Administrative Code, and utilize it for your client's benefits. That's what we get hired for. Now, Civil Practice and Remedies Code. I'm covering some different fundamentals. One fundamental is the statute that was passed in 2013, took effect January 1, 2014, and protects and regulates subrogation. It regulates all insured health plans, with the exception of those that have a specific other statute like Medicaid, Medicare, Veterans Administration. It regulates them whether they are ERISA plans or not. I get people asking me all the time, well, I've got this ERISA plan, so I can't apply 140. No, you have this ERISA plan. If it is insured, you do apply Chapter 140, whether it's occupational injury, whether it's health insurance. And it sets out some basic rules. First, all the different plans. I've had a case with four different plans.